ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम 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 गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो इन् दिस् सेकेण्ड् पार्ट् आफ् दि माण्डुक्य उपनिषत् called Vaithatya Prakaranam, where Gaudapadacharya establishes the mithyatvam of the universe jagat. We saw last class how Gaudapadacharya brings to light the limitations in the thinking of different philosophers and their views. And continuation of that, we also saw the reality, absolute reality, the Paramporul, is never an object of knowledge. The reality is available for recognition as the Swarupam, the truth of the subject of knowledge, the very knower. And subject of all the knower happens to be the Self, indicated by the pronoun I. The truth of the reality is available for recognition as the truth of the I, the knower. And that reality, which is available for recognition as the truth of the knower, Swarupam of the knower, is consciousness, which is the existence, which is of the nature of fullness. And here, now we have to move on to this verses. When Gaudapada Acharyaji mentions the limitations of other philosophers, that all these, he mentions this, that all these philosophers and people who are given to the study of the different disciplines, they all search for the truth as an external object. The biggest mistake on their part is that the very effort to search for the truth as the object, and thereby thinking that truth is an independent, you know, truth is an object, and therefore truth, the object which is the truth, you know, the truth which is the object has its own independent existence. First they say the reality for them is an object, and that reality which is an object has its own independent existence. Therefore, what they do next is, when they see the reality as an independent object, then they see the Self as something different, separate from the objects. This is what important lesson you have to see. They see the Self as something separate from the objects. They see the truth, the objects. They see the truth as an object. The object, the truth which is seen as an object, is something separate from the Self. Therefore, this whole world also becomes what for them? Real. Yam bhavam darshayet yasya,
yam bhavam darshayet
tambhavam satu pasyati
tambhavam satu pasyati
tanchavati sabhutvasau
tanchavati sabhutvasau
tadgrahasamupaititam. In this verse, Gaudapadacharya says how we are all born innocent people, and being born innocent, being born ignorant, helplessly, choicelessly, we are influenced by many factors, which we were made to believe many factors. We have been made to accept, take many things as real. Our own parentage, our own background of birth, the cultural background, environmental background, social background, all of them have great influence on us. That what happens, we see, now for us always, we can't see on our own what the truth is. We can't search for the truth as what the truth is. We can't search on our own. We just believe and we accept things. That's why even the God for the people becomes an object external to the individual. So even the Veda Shastram itself, the Karma Kanda of the Veda or the Upasana Kanda of the Veda itself presents God as an object. Initially, as long as there is a need for the individual to grow, definitely there is a need for the individual to grow. Emotionally, one has to grow. Physical growth is taken care of by eating correctly, properly, 3 times a day, or if possible, 4-5 times a day. But the emotional maturity takes its own time. So until we become emotionally mature, it is very important for one to worship and pray. And as long as we need to pray and worship, we have to have an objective God. So Shastram, the Veda Shastram itself prescribes, presents the objective God. In Karma Kanda, we have God being presented as an object. And also Upasana Kanda, for us God is an object because you are meditating upon God. Of course, there is an explanation that what you see as God objectively, what you see God outside as an object, is only a symbol which represents the Lord, the whole. Even there is some understanding is there. We worship the God as an object, but that God which we worship outside as an object is in fact a symbol which stands for, represents the whole, the Lord. Even then some understanding is clear, understanding is there. We are not simply mechanically worshipping the God as just the one form which we worship in front of us. We know we are worshipping the God, the whole, there. God who is in the form of the whole, even though we do not know who exactly that God is. But for us, the whole entire universe is manifestation of the God. And the one form which I am worshipping in front of me is a symbol which represents, which stands for Lord the whole. Therefore, my worshipping is one given form, an object, is not just, does not mean that this object alone is God. One particular object is, we don't see it as a God. But still, the very worship and prayer, praying to the God, or worshipping the God, means you are the worshipper, you are the one who is praying to, and God is an object of your worship and prayer, which is, God is different from you, the worshipper. There's a separation, isn't it? But when God is an object and you are different from the worshipped, the worshipper is different from the worshipped, the duality is still there. In spite of having this understanding also, imagine people who worship the God as an object outside, and for that one particular object itself is the God. Understand? What a talk of them. Therefore, here he says, how do we take it? Suppose from childhood, or by your teachers or by elders at home, or the friends we are associating with, or the, our own acquaintance associates, somehow we are easily influenced. And we want to be influenced, helplessly influenced. Then what happens? Suppose somebody shows you this is the truth. This is the God and this is the truth. Somebody shows, and then we are given to that belief, and we take that, we are very much influenced. So here he says, Yam Bhavam Darshayed Yasya. Whoever shows a given form, a given object as the truth, you know, to somebody, that person, whoever is shown that given particular form as the truth, that person, tam bhavam tu pashyati, he sees that particular object, particular form, or particular, you know, the object of existence as the reality. Whatever one is exposed to, whatever is one is shown as the reality, and that object shown, this person sees as the God or the truth. Sahatu pashyati. And when he believes that as the truth, he sees that object as the truth, and then what happens? Being given to that belief for a length of time, or being given to the practice of certain worship, etc., in due course of time, he emotionally gets stuck with that form of worship, emotionally gets stuck with that form, where he gets stuck with that truth or that belief. One emotionally gets entangled with that. We enter, no, we get stuck. What are we supposed to do? We need to begin with worship and prayer. We need to enter into this, no, discipline of praying and worship, and we have to grow there, and growing, then we have to grow out of that. But here, instead of, we enter, we get caught up there, emotionally we are entangled there, but we don't grow, and somehow we are not able to grow out of that. This is the biggest problem, isn't it? That's what he says in the second line. How we, you know, this person who is introduced to something as the truth by somebody else, and he sees that object as the truth, thereafter he feels emotionally secure. Because always worship and prayer, you know, makes a person feel relatively secure. Even people always come and tell me, today we did this puja, we feel very good, you know. Today we went to the temple, we feel very good. The feeling good makes them feel comfortable. You know, feeling good makes them feel secure. Therefore, they are not able to get out of it. That belief they hold on to, that form of worship they hold on to, that form they worship, and not the object they hold on to as the truth, and that really avati protects them emotionally, relatively. Therefore, that emotionally, no, they feel good, the feeling good, no, is what actually is sort of relative protection. They feel protected. That's why he says, సహ తంచ అవతి. దెన్ దెర్ఫోర్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్ నౌ, బికాస్ హీ ఫీల్స్ ఇమోషనలీ సెక్యూర్ అండ్ హీ ఆల్సో కంటిన్యూస్ దట్, హీ నో హీ రియలీ హీ హోల్డ్స్ ఆన్ టు దట్, హీ ప్రొటెక్ట్స్ దట్ బిలీఫ్ ఆల్సో దట్ బై బిలీవింగ్ ఇట్. భూత్వాసౌ తద్ గ్రహః సముపైతితం. లేట్ అండ్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్ ఇనిషియలీ హీ బీంగ్ గివెన్ టు దట్ ఫ్రమ్ వర్షిప్ సర్టెన్ బిలీఫ్ సిస్టమ్, దెన్ లేటర్ ఆన్ దట్ రియలీ క్యాచెస్ హిమ్ స్ట్రాంగ్లీ. మీ తద్ గ్రహః సముపైతి మీన్స్ హీ బికమ్స్ ఎంటాంగిల్డ్ ఇన్ దట్. No, he is not able to come out of it. He cannot easily come out of the grip of such an entanglement. Graha samupaiti, which means that really is holding on to him. That holds on to him, which means he can't relieve from it. Initially he holds on to it, later on that holds on to him. This is what. How you become held by your own belief, how you become, you know, caught up in the grip of your own belief. Initially you hold on to something, you believe, later on that belief holds on to you. This is how people remain, which means they do not think further. Okay, next he is going to say, ఏతైరేషో పృథగ్ భావైః పృథగేవేతి లక్షితః ఏవం యో వేద తత్వేన కల్పయేత్ సో విశంకితః. So from all these, you know, there are so many objects here, therefore there's so many factors which are taken to be the truth by different philosophers of different views, and then when they take this external thing as an object, the external thing, the object as the truth, maybe from for all of them the different, the truth is different from, you know, for them the object is the truth, is the object, therefore the truth differs from person to person also. For one person the truth is different, for other person the truth is different, for another person the truth is different. Why? Because why there is difference? Why there is difference? If the truth is one, is the truth must be one, one and the same for all of them. But the truth, for different people they have different views of the truth, and that truth is not one and the same. The truth seems to be different here. Why? Because they see the truth as an object. So the object is the truth. When the object is seen as the truth, there is difference in their views. If they see the truth as the truth of the subject, the truth, see the reality as the very swarupam of the knower, the subject, then for all the seeds of the truth, truth will not be, will not be different and many, truth will be one and the same. And these people, seeing this truth as an object, the next step is what? Next they think this object which is seen as the truth has independent existence for them, and they see the self as something different, separate from the object, the truth. The self is different from the truth, and the truth is an object, and the truth has independent existence. This is how they arrive at finally. Gaudapacharya says. In fact, what should we understand? We have to remember the first chapter's lesson. Anything which is an object, even if it is a god or whatever it is mithya, not the satyam, not the truth. Anything which is an object is mithya due to its being the very object. Drishyatvat mithya. Remember the statement? Why it is the jagat is mithya? And not one particular thing he says mithya. The whole jagat he negates as what? Mithya. Jagrat prapanchaha mithya. When you say jagrat prapanchaha mithya, the entire jagrat prapanchaha is an object of perception, object of knowledge. And its status of being the object of knowledge itself is what now? Seen as the reason for its mithyatvam. Is it clear? And he says, jagrat prapanchaha mithya, like what? Like your dream universe. Just as dream universe is mithya from the standpoint of the waker. Is it clear? See, the whole jagrat prapanchaha also is mithya. Listen, why? Because it has no independent existence. Why? Jagrat prapanchaha happens to be the object of knowledge. It has no independent existence, separate from, apart from the knower, the experiencer, the subject. Is it clear? Therefore, it is mithya. Therefore, the subject which exists independent of the object alone is the satyam. That's how he established. Now he says, yetaihi prithak bhavaihi, yetaihi, sorry, aprithak bhavaihi, not prithak bhavaihi there, you can see one avagraha there, aprithak bhavaihi. He says, now Gaudapacharya ji says, yete aprithak bhavaha. Yete means all these objects of knowledge are non-separate object. Non-separate. Aprithak. Prithak means separate. Aprithak means non-separate. All these objects are non-separate. No object is separate from the knower, the subject. For those who see the truth as an object, object is separate and it has independent existence. Whereas Acharya, Gaudapacharya says, Vedanta Shastram says, know all these objects which are known, perceived, are what? Aprithak bhavaha. Aprithak bhavaha means, bhavaha means object. Okay? The existent object, which is available for objectification, perception, is bhavaha here. So, all these existent objects are what? Aprithak bhavaha. They are non-separate. Non-separate from whom? Non-separate from the knower. They do not have independent existence. Is it clear? But these people, how do these philosophers see? For them, prithak bhavaha. All these objects are prithak bhavaha according to the philosophers. According to Vedanta Shastram, these objects are not prithak bhavaha, they are aprithak bhavaha. Okay, and he says, then, prithagye, yeshaha prithagyeva iti lakshitaha. Whereas, the knower, the subject, I, the knower, the subject of knowledge, am distinct and different from the known. The known objects of knowledge are non-separate from the knower. Non-separate means what? No. Non-separate from the knower, whereas the knower is definitely distinct from these known objects. Being distinct is the fact, the knower being distinct from the known is the fact, but that does not mean, being distinct does not mean distant, being distant. Being distinct does not mean being distant. Being distinct does not mean being separate. What is distinct from? The knower is distinct from the known, but the known are not distant from the knower. Which means there is no separation. When there is no separation, the known do not have independent existence. Therefore, how can this known, which is non-separate from the knower, which is dependent on the knower for its existence, be taken to be the truth? This is the understanding. Okay. Now he says, therefore, this is the fact. What is the fact now? Yeshaha prithageva. This knower, the subject of knowledge, is lakshitaha. Lakshitaha means clearly seen. Clearly seen. Eshaha lakshitaha. This knower, being distinct from the known, is clearly seen. At the same time, the known being non-separate from this knower also is clearly seen. The one who sees this very clearly, yaha evam veda tatvena. One who knows this in reality. You all get this point, what I'm saying? Yaha evam veda. Yaha, the one who, he who, veda knows. How? Tatvena, factually, actually, in reality. Okay, the one who knows the fact. Tatvena Veda means one who understands this fact. What is the fact? The knower is distinct from the known, but the known are non-separate from the knower. Knower is distinct from the known, but the known are non-separate from the knower. Which means, in reality, what do we say? The knower has independent existence. The known has dependent existence. Therefore, the knower is as good as the cause. The known is as good as the effect. Therefore, the known is nothing but manifestation of the reality, the knower. Okay? The whole universe is what now? Manifestation of the knower swarupam. Which means, one who sees this vision, one who sees this truth being one, secondless and non-dual. One who sees the truth being one, secondless and non-dual. One who sees the truth as the surupam of the knower, the subject, thereby one who sees the truth being secondless and non-dual, which means, why secondless? There is no object which is independent, which has independent existence outside of the knower. For every object is what? The subject only. Every effect is the cause. One who sees the truth as the surupam of the knower, there will be one who sees the truth being secondless and non-dual. Therefore, one who sees the truth being, everything being the manifestation of the only truth, such a person, no? Tatvena Veda. One who sees this fact, understands this fact. Tatvena Saha kalpayet. He alone can, no, he alone can teach. Kalpayet means what? Kalpayet here does not mean may project. The word kalpayeti, always I taught you before, projects, isn't it? The word kalpayeti means projects, literally. But here kalpayet means bodhayet, sikshayet. No, may teach, can teach. How avishankitaha? Avishankitaha means shanka means doubt. Shankitaha means doubtful. Vishankitaha means very, very doubtful. Avishankitaha means absolutely doubt-free person. Doubtless person. Okay, absolutely, doubtlessly, he can teach. No, he can clearly give the vision. Who can give the vision? One who understands the fact. Understands, no, understand the fact. Tattvena yaha veda. And who is the one? Is it clear? Avishankitaha kalpayet. I'm repeating again. Kalpayet now is a ling form of the verb kalpayati. So kalpayati literally means projects or imagines, visualizes. But here the word kalpayati, kalpanam, kalpana, the names you know, no? So here the word kalpayati means teaches. He can teach. Who can teach? He alone can teach. How can he teach? Avishankitaha. Completely free from any doubt. Being free from all the doubts. Doubtlessly, he, now it means convincingly he can teach. Avishankitaha, he can teach doubtlessly means what? When he humbly teaches doubtlessly, he teaches convincingly. Who can teach? Yaha Veda, one who knows. How does he know? Tatvena, one who knows factually, one who knows the fact properly. What is that fact he knows? What he is that he understands? For the one for whom he understands, the truth is not an object. Therefore, truth is independent. Any object is not the truth because, okay, the truth is not an object. The truth is the very swarupam of the subject. Truth is neither the subject nor the object. Truth is swarupam of the subject. Understand? And the truth is never an object. And any object has only dependent existence. Therefore, any object is mithya. Therefore, the whole jagat is what? Mithya. Which is, the mithya jagat has no independent existence outside of the swarupam of the knower, which is one and non-dual. Therefore, the whole jagat is mithya means, he is, the jagat is non-separate from the knower. Therefore, all that is here is only non-dual reality, the truth which is the swarupam of the subject. One who understands this fact, he alone can teach fact, you know, teach what? Convincingly, without any doubts. So, yetaihi apritag bhavaihi prithageva iti yeshaha lakshitaha yaha evam yaha veda tatvena saha avishankitaha kalpayet. This is the prose form of the karika. Is it clear? He continues. Svapnamaye yatha drishte.
Svapnamaye yatha drishte.
Gandharva nagaram yatha.
Gandharva nagaram
तथा विश्वमिदं दृष्टम् वेदान्तेषु विचक्षणैः See, before the study of the Vedanta Shastram, before we begin to study the Vedanta Shastram, if we already have the vision of the non-duality of the reality, then we need not study the Vedanta Shastram. But definitely before the study of the Vedanta Shastram, we have the perception of duality. And perception is always real for us. No, our understanding of realities goes by our perception. Therefore, what perception is real? Therefore, we are choicelessly, given to the perception of duality. Therefore, before we begin this Vedanta Shastra study, for us duality is real. And study Upanishad after Upanishad, study for many years, then again finally people say, there are many people who have studied Vedanta, so many Shastras for so many years. People who accept Veda as a Pramanam, not only, they also, finally they come back and say what? Duality is real. God is an object. The truth is an object which is independent. I am isolated individual different from the truth, the God, which means I am different from the Lord. Understand? I am different from the Lord. God is different from me. The world is different from the God. It's called Jiva Jagad Ishvara Bhedaha. I am different from the Lord. Lord is different from me. The universe is different from the Lord. And Lord is different from the universe. Okay? All Jiva Jiva Bheda, Jiva Ishvara Bheda, Jiva Jagad Bheda, Jagad Ishvara Bheda. Bheda means difference. Understand? All these differences. There's a difference between wave and a wave. Difference between wave and the ocean. Like that, isn't it? All these differences are perceived. Therefore, all these differences are real. Before, when we are studying the Vedanta Shastram, duality is real because in our perception there is duality. Who can deny the duality in your perception? No fool can deny duality in our perceptions. There is very much duality in our perception. Therefore, duality is real. After studying the Shastram for many years also, if duality is the real, then the study itself is what? The study has not served any purpose. So non-duality, isn't it? Non-duality being the reality should become clear. Isn't it? So that's what he is going to say here. It is typically like saying, initially, we do not even know this fact. The universe is geocenter. Means the universe is actually this earth. Earth is permanent. Earth is static there, and all other planets, including the Sun, move in their orbits. They come around the Earth. This is the understanding until the 15th century, maybe 14th century. And the person who stated, actually, the only one, the scientist who stated this, the Earth is also is one of the planets which moves in its orbit. The Sun is there, Sun is there, and actually he was not even believed. It took many years for people to arrive at it. It took very many years for people to arrive at this fact. If there's no sunrise, there's no sunset. And sun rises in the morning and goes, travels to from east to the west, and he sets in the west. This is our perception even today. This is our perception every day, isn't it? That does not mean it's a fact. In the light of the knowledge of the fact, you can always negate your perception. The perception being false, isn't it? Similarly here also, in the wake of the knowledge of the fact of the non-duality of the reality, you can negate the perception of duality. Without denying our perception of duality, you can negate the perception of duality as mithya. How? In the light of the knowledge of the fact of non-duality of the reality. Now he says, listen. Svapnamaye yatha drishte.
Svapnamaye yatha drishte.
Gandharvanagaram yatha.
Gandharvanagaram yatha.
Tatha vishvamidam drishtam.
Tatha vishvamidam drishtam.
Vedanteshu
vichakshanaihi. Vedanteshu vichakshanaihi.
See, yatha gandharva nagaram, yatha gandharva nagaram swapna maye drishte. What does it mean? In dream as a gandharva nagaram. Gandhanagara means what? You have the experience of a beautiful city in your dream. And that dream universe, that dream city which you experience in your dream, there is an experience of that beautiful city, Gandharva Nagaram, when in your dream. That there is no plurality of objects. There is duality because the perceiver different from the perceived. And the perceived is what? External to the perceiver. So the dream world is real. Very much real. The dream objects are real. The dream experience is real. From the standpoint of the dreamer. Isn't it? But once the person wakes up from sleep, from the standpoint of the waker, the dream world, the dream objects, the dream experiencer, everything is mithya. Even the dreamer is mithya. Is not there. The dreamer is mean the dream world. There can be dreamer only if there's a dream world, isn't it? The dreamer, the dreamt, the dream, everything is mithya. From the standpoint of the waker. Similarly here, we say all this from the standpoint of the body, from the standpoint of the physical body, the standpoint of the sense organs, from the standpoint of the mind, this waking universe also is what now real. The standpoint of the waker, is it? The standpoint of this particular body, this particular mind, this particular waker, we say this waking universe also is as real as the dream world for the dreamer. This from the standpoint of Turiya Chaitanyam, the Atma. No, this is also what now? This is Mithya. Waking universe also is Mithya. It becomes negated as Mithya only from the standpoint of the Turiyam. So only from the standpoint of the dreamer, the dream is real. The standpoint of the waker, the dream is Mithya. The dream is Mithya means the dreamer, the subject of dreaming, the dreamt, the object of the dream, and the very dream, function of dreaming, all of them are Mithya, the standpoint of the waker, which means Mithya means the dreamer dreamt and the dream does not have independent existence outside of the waker, which means the whole dream, is non-separate from the waker. Non-separate from the waker. Even the waker is distinct from the dream, the whole dream is non-separate from the waker. Similarly, from the standpoint of Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness, the entire waking universe also is what? The waker, isn't it? The waker, the waking experience. And this waking world, the object of experience, everything will be Triputi Bhedaha. Triputi Bhedaha means what? Experiencer, experience, and the experienced. It's called Triputi Bhedaha. These three differences will resolve from the standpoint of the Turiya Chaitanyam. Standpoint of the waker, there is no dreamer, dreamt, dream, a difference. Standpoint of Turiya Chaitanyam also, there won't be this knower, knowledge, known, Triputi Bheda. This difference will not be there. What he wants to say here. Swapna Maye Yatha Drishte Gandharva Nagaram Yatha Tatha idam vishwam drishtam. In the same way, the idam vishwam drishtam. This universe also is seen as, mithya. By whom? Mithya by Vedanta Vichakshanaihi. In the light of, by those people who have the vision of the reality, and by such people, in the light of the Vedantic vision of, the vision of non-duality of the reality being the self, this entire cosmos also is seen, this waking universe also is seen as Mithya. Vedanta Vichakshanaha means what? Vichakshanaha means the person of distortion-free, clear vision. Vichakshanaha. The person of doubt-free, clear, ascertained vision is called Vichakshanaha. and that clear doubt-free vision of the reality, being non-dual reality, non-duality of the reality, this person has got how? Through Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam of Vedantic teaching, isn't it? Therefore, Vedanta Vichakshanaha means, Vichakshanaha is the one who has clear vision through the Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam of Vedantic teaching. So by those such people, many people know, Vichakshanaihi, by those people who have the clear vision, this entire universe is seen as, this waking universe also is seen as mithya. Which means, for them, all these differences are mithya for them. Isn't it? Which means, without denying the perception of duality, accepting the perception of wise people, you can ask, oh, do wise people have perception of duality or not? If wise people also have the perception of duality, like any other ignorant person, understand? But they see, they have the vision of non-duality of the reality. For them, non-duality is satyam, duality is mithya. Isn't it? The non-duality is satyam, but the duality is mithya. That does not mean they do not see duality. Understand? They do perceive duality. Like what? In the light of knowledge of the science. When you study science, understand facts. In the light of the knowledge of the fact that sun is the only, you know, thing which does not move, and all other planets, including the earth, comes around the sun, there is no sunrise or no sunset. Being a fact, in the light of the knowledge of the fact, even though you see the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, without denying your perception of sunrise and sunset, you see the fact is what? Sun being unmoving. Similarly, here also, this Vedanta Vichakshanaha, these people see the non-duality of the reality as the satyam, and they see Jagat being the plurality and duality, the divisions and differences being mithya. It may sound like repetition. You have to be with me to... Sometimes we do lose patience because we want to go, but what to do? The Acharya is repeating, so I had to go like that. Because we do miss out, because there's some sort of boredom we do, people feel, as our own Pratibandha comes and stops like that. Idu Vishwamidam Drishtam. Therefore, it is like, typically like, when we all see the colored bulbs, you know, many colorful bulbs we see, many colorful, but we never mistake the light as the colorful light, isn't it? It is the color of the bulb. There's a seemingly colored light. Really speaking, light is color-free, colorless, isn't it? The colors belong to only the, what no, colors are, right, what we see here. It's only the bulb's color. Similarly, the plurality, the duality, the divisions, the differences are all mithya. Why? Objects themselves are mithya. Then why should we count later on? The number is mithya. You know that? The plurality is mithya. Duality is mithya. Differences are mithya. Objects are mithya. Therefore, not the satyam is the swarupam of the knower. In fact, knower status also is mithya. Satyam alone, no? And so now, the substance of the substantive, I, swarupam of the knower alone is satyam. Therefore, everything is mithya means, the whole, here, everything is the manifestation of that only satyam. Therefore, there is no second reality other than the satyam, the satya sadvastu. This is the non-duality is reality. Non-duality is real. Duality is mithya. Dvaitam mithya, advaitam satyam. This is what we have to say. Suppose if we ask, what is, if you ask a physicist, what is this? What is an ant? What's a mosquito? What is this cockroach? No? What is this? We don't, he's smiling. We don't have cockroaches in London. Why do you remind us? Only in India you have. That's what David is saying now. Seeing cockroaches in Coimbatore. What is, no, anything you ask, they'll say, so what, Dr. Shivadasaha is also energy in motion. Shakuntalama is also another, you know, bundle of energy in motion. Everything here is energy in motion. The entire universe is what? The entire world is energy in motion. This will be a physicist's view, scientist's view. What will be the Vedantist's view? The entire universe is, now it is energy in motion. The everything is energy in motion. For a scientist, for a Vedantin, the entire universe is consciousness in seeming motion. The entire universe is motionless consciousness in seeming motion. You get the difference? What is ocean? If you ask, what can we say? Ocean is waves in motion. Look at this. What is ocean? Ocean is waves in motion. This is one view. What should be the other view? Ocean is H2O, no, motionless H2O in seeming motion. Why? Because when you say wave itself is seeming appearance, and do you count the movement of the wave? Is it clear? Similarly, this entire universe is consciousness in seeming motion. This is what we know. Vedanteshu vichakshanaihi idam vishvam tatha drishtam. Katham drishtam Vedanta vichakshanaihi, by the stalwarts of Vedanta. Vedantic vision. Vedanta vichakshanaihi, by those stalwarts of Vedantic vision. Idam vishvam drishtam. This entire universe has been seen as mithya. Mithya means what? There's no universe. There are no differences. There's no duality. There's no plurality. What do you say? Yes, Everything is there or not? Do you see them or not? I do see the plurality, I do see the duality, I do see the differences, I do perceive everything, but still all of them are mithya. Mithya means, mithya is nothing but manifestation of satyam. Therefore, there is absolutely non-duality is real. And this duality is only relatively real. Understand? This is what he says in this verse.
Na nirodho na chotpattihi. Na baddho na cha sadhakaha. Na mumukshur na vai muktaha. Ityesha paramarthata. Na nirodho na chotpattihi. Na baddho na cha sadhakaha. Na mumukshur na vai muktaha. Ityesha paramarthata.
You see the dream universe. Analyze the dream universe from the standpoint of the waker. The standpoint of the waker, the dream universe is mithya. Mithya means what? Mithya means that which is as though, that which is as good as non-existent. Anything which has dependent existence is as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Therefore, once once you have woken up from sleep and you are a waker, then is there a real dissolution of the waking dream universe? No. The dream universe itself is not there. You have already, isn't it? You can talk about the dissolution of the dream universe only if it is real. If it is not real, means what? There is no dissolution of the dream universe. Understand first. Why? Then it is not there means, from the standpoint of the waker I am talking. The standpoint of the waker, you need, there is no dissolution of the dream universe. Because dream universe is not there. Why should you talk about the dissolution of, destruction of something which is not there? Which is as good as non-existent, isn't it? Do you have to work very hard to undo something which is not there? It's already not there, isn't it? The dream is not there for the waker anymore. Anymore with that there seemed to be something. It is really not there. Okay? The dream is something which seemed to have existent, but which is really not there now. Understand now? This, therefore, there's no dissolution. You know, there's no destruction of the, so pralayam of the dream universe from the standpoint of the waker. Nacha utpattihi. There's also no creation of the dream universe. See, when something which is not there, will you talk about something which is, creation of something which is not there? No. Therefore, not with that. Therefore, will you talk about, there's nothing, everything mithya, then will there be bound, will there be bondage caused by that created universe? which needs to be destroyed. No, this is a bondage. The standpoint of the waker, there is no bondage caused by, bound by the universe, isn't it? Universe itself is not. How can the universe bind you? Now, what is bondage? Being dependent is being bound. You are, as a waker, the dream world. Dream world is not non-existent dream world, which is as good as non-existent. How can it bind the waker? There is no bondage. When there is no bondage, the waker who is not dependent, as the waker, you are completely independent of the dream world. Understand? And that dream world cannot bind you. Therefore, where do you want to free you from? What do you want to free you from? Therefore, there is no freedom. Prida, very important lesson. There is no freedom also. Bondage is possible only if you are dependent on the world for your happiness, for existence, isn't it? And the world itself is mithya, not there. Therefore, you can't be dependent on something which is not there. Therefore, you are not bound as a waker. As a waker, you are not bound. And also, therefore, you need not seek any freedom. Why should you seek freedom from, as a waker, you need not seek freedom from the non-existent bondage. Isn't it? Therefore, there is no such thing called freedom. This is what Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada brings out in his Nirvana Shatkam later on. Okay, listen. Once there is no need for seeking freedom, because there is no bondage, there is no freedom also. Can there be desire for freedom? No, there can't be desire for freedom. Why should you have desire for something which is not there? Therefore, you cannot be the one, as a waker, you cannot be the one who is desirous of seeking freedom from the non-existent bondage. Is it clear? Mukshuhu. As a waker, you cannot become the liberated from the dream, bondage caused by the dream universe. Therefore, there is no liberated waker from the dream universe. Na muktaha. What now? Iti esha paramarthata. You understand this from first analyzing this dream, waker-dream association, connection. Now you can say. Similarly, what is the reality? What is the truth? The truth is your swarupam. You are the truth. You, the subject of knowledge, you, the knower, are the truth. Your swarupam is the truth. So you are, when your swarupam is the reality, which is the consciousness, is the swarupam, and that you are the truth. You are consciousness, therefore you are the truth. Which means, from the standpoint of, then when you say you are the truth, what is that you indicate? That you does not indicate, does not mean the body or mind or senses. That you implies consciousness. You are the truth means you are the truth, therefore the truth is the whole and you are the whole. Not H-O-L-E, W-H-O-L-E. isn't it? You are the whole. Why? Because truth is the whole. Why? Because you are the truth. Okay? I am the truth. The truth is all. Therefore, I am all. I am everything. This is the truth. Listen, this is the fact about the truth. So, therefore, if you understand this, no? Then you can say, from the standpoint of the reality, the truth, the Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness, as the Surupam of I, you are Vedanta Vichakshanaha. You are Vedanta Vichakshanaha. Then you can say, Nanirodhaha. Na nirodha, there is no dissolution of the universe for you. Because this universe itself is not there for you. This universe is not there absolutely for you. The universe is relatively there for you, but the universe is mithya. Mithya, it is not satyam. Therefore, it is as good as non-existent. You are the Satyam. The universe is not something which is non-separate from you. Therefore, it is Mithya. Therefore, it is as good as non-existent. When you say it is as a Mithya universe, which is as good as non-existent, it is all you, the truth. You must have shifted I. Fast from all of them, must have resolved it in consciousness. Understand? Then you can say what now? Na nirodha. Nirodha here does not mean obstruction. Here it means the pralayaha. There is no pralayaha. The universe itself is not there. And how can you talk about the dissolution of the universe, deluge of the universe? There is no such a thing called deluge. No. Universal deluge, or I can say deluge of the cosmos. Na nirodaha. Nacha utpattihi. Will you talk about the creation of the universe then? Na utpattihi. There is no creation of the universe. There is no such thing called a creation. There is no such thing called dissolution. Why? There is no universe. Only if there is a universe which is very much real, which is the truth, which is an object which is exists independently other than me, then you can say you have to talk about the creation and dissolution, etc. Isn't it? When you don't even give a status, you have taken the status. Before jnanam, you give overvalue. Listen now, you overvalue the universe. Now you, with the due value, see, it has no value. What does it mean? It is as good as non-existent. Don't say non-existent, okay? It is as good as non-existent means, and will you talk about, it's only the seeming appearance of the consciousness. The ocean is the seeming appearance of the H2O. Any effect is the seeming seeming appearance of the cause, the whole jagat. What seeming, all the motions, all the functions, all the actions, all the experiences, all the screaming, shoutings, loggings, all that is the colors, all this. No, really making you, the exciting world is in fact, really speaking, you are the most exciting reality, because the only seemingly exciting world is in fact, seeming appearance of the most exciting reality, the consciousness, you. You are that consciousness. Therefore, you are the truth means this universe, there's no such a thing called dissolution, because there's no creation at all. Na nirodha na cha utpatti. Hope you're all with me. Na cha utpatti. Na nirodha na cha utpatti. Therefore, when there's no creation, real, there's no creation, there's no dissolution, there's no universe for you other than you, what is this universe? My own seeming appearance. My own means which my? Isn't it? That is very important. Having strong my sense, I sense here, my own appearance, the universe means what? The universe will cry, isn't it? Oh my God, do I look so ugly like this? Therefore, my own appearance means the most beautiful you, isn't it? It's all whole universe is what? The galata full universe is, in a seemingly galata full universe is galata free consciousness, you. Therefore, we say here, there's no, therefore the universe is not, means are you dependent on this universe for your happiness? How can you be dependent on this universe is as good as non-existent? When you are happiness and fullness, you can't afford to be dependent on this non-existent universe. Seemingly, isn't it? Seemingly existent universe. Therefore, there is no bondage. There is no, you are not bound. Listen now, na baddha, you are not bound. He is taking us step by step. Once you are not bound means, then you cannot be, what now, a spiritual aspirant either. You, as a Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness. From the standpoint of the mind, you get the status, what now? Knower, no? The knower status. Really, from the standpoint of consciousness, as you, what now? You are not an aspirant, a spiritual aspirant, not a seeker of the truth. The truth cannot seek the truth. You are not the seeker of the truth. Therefore, na sadhakaha, not the spiritual aspirant, the seeker of the truth. Therefore, what now? Na mumukshuhu, you are not a mumukshuhu. You are not the one who is desirous of freedom. You are not even bound. There's nothing to bind you. There's nothing to bind you, therefore you are not bound. Being not bound, you cannot seek moksha. Because you are not a seeker of moksha, you are not a mukshuhu. Therefore, you can never become the freed, liberated also. Only the seeker of moksha can become liberated. You are not liberated. You will never be liberated. A ever free reality can never become liberated. You must be baddha, then you can become a muktaha. You are not a baddha. You are not a baddha. You are not bound. Therefore, you can never become free also. The bound can become free, isn't it? You're free. Muktaha. Iti yesha paramarthata. This is the fact, absolute fact about yourself. About yourself means what? The truth. Don't think teaching is over, okay? We have Advaita Prakaranam. The whole Prakaranam is going to say. When he talks about, what does he mean? This universe is mithya. Mithya means as good as non-existent. We all feel sleepy, we all want tea now. How can you say this sleep is mithya, tea is mithya? I tell you, now this teaching is mithya, sitting here is mithya, my sitting here is mithya, listening is mithya, everything is mithya. Okay? Who says all satyam? Everything is mithya. And my talking is very much mithya. My sitting here is very much mithya. Your listening to me is very much mithya. That is why you're not able to believe, isn't it? Your feeling sleepy is mithya. Your wanting to drink tea is mithya. The tea itself is mithya. Sugar is mithya. Your going and drinking is mithya. Everything is mithya. Mithya means seeming. Satyam, that's a truth, fact. That is why you find it difficult to accept, isn't it? Desire for pickle is mithya. Desire itself is mithya. Desire for anything is mithya. Desire for sugar is mithya. Desire for anything is mithya. Everything is mithya, mithya, mithya. He is going to say in the next verse, even Advaitam is partially mithya. How? We'll see. Go have tea and come back.